So we're, as was mentioned, having a special focus today on the Passion of Christ. We do that every single Sunday, but today we designate it for prolonged days and kind of giving our full attention to what Jesus went through for our sake. So I'm going to pray and then a little later on read several scriptures related to this one overarching theme of the cup. And that's the term that's used throughout the Bible, metaphorically, and that Jesus brought up again, speak about what he would go through. So we'll see that. But let's go ahead and ask God for the help we need to hear his voice this morning. Father, we thank you for your living word. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who lives inside your followers. We pray that through his power, you give us understanding, you give us grace for our need right now, to capture our minds and our hearts freshly through our faith in you. Amen. Recently, my wife and I put a lot of work into renovating our kitchen. And that's involved painting, it's involved even knocking out a little wall, and taking old drywall and 2x4s out to the driveway, trash cans. However, not all those 2x4s fit inside the trash cans, so some were set nearby them. And so, about 3 weeks ago on a busy day of work, I stepped outside of my garage onto the driveway. Actually, it wasn't exactly onto the driveway, it was onto a board lying on the driveway. Or more specifically, a board with rusty nails sticking out of it. So one of these nails seized the opportunity to puncture my shoe and my foot. And it was a surprising sensation. Yeah, so it hurt. And my plan for the day and the week were quickly altered with the need for a fresh tetanus shot and antibiotics and a couple days of heavy limping. But you know what? It wasn't all that bad. I mean, I'd broken a bone before when I was 4 years old. I jumped out of a tree. I missed the rope, broke my wrist. That hurt. That hurt more. And I had a lot of cuts and bruises over the years, scrapes. And then there were the aches. I hate headaches or earaches. But then, you know what, again, maybe worse than those external physical pains is sickness in serious form. Because, you know, if you hit your finger with a hammer, that hurts immediately, but it's right out there, it's in one particular source. But when you have a stomach virus or something, your whole body is just in you, and I hate stomach nausea, don't you? It's just a bad experience. So, all of us have various experiences like that. Probably the worst physically related discomfort I've had, though, is this time when a virus made its way into my head, and it was a sickness that got bad enough to where I would have near bouts of almost delirium because of the mental alteration this virus was causing. Now, here's the weird thing. It wasn't physical pain, but I would say that's worse than any of the physical pain I've experienced. And isn't that strange? So, that's the fact that mental or emotional distress can actually be worse than physical pain. But you know what, that's actually part of what it means to be human and not animal. We are designed to live with a certain level of equilibrium, you know, harmony between our mind and our body, our emotions. And when that is disrupted, we can just be thrown into turmoil. So physical pain isn't even necessarily the worst kind. In fact, what highlights that even more is the fact that as bad as any physical or medically related discomfort can be, the pain that we experience through negative events can easily surpass it. You know, whether it's trauma, or some kind of abuse, or unexpected loss, all manner of mistreatment against you, the soul pain that we experience can be worse than even the horrible physical discomfort our body can experience in this world. So think of some of the worst pain you've ever experienced in all categories, and it may well be that it's not physical pain that comes to mind. Well, that brings us to our focus today. It's a Sunday we can uniquely set apart to focus on the passion of Christ, turning our attention fully to His suffering for us. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Easter, the resurrection. But here's the key. We can only appreciate the joy and meaning of the resurrection in proportion to how well we understand what He went through for us. We can only really enter into the joy in proportion to how clearly we understand what He went through for our sake. That's what we're going to do today. The focus, like I said, I want to have specifically what Jesus Himself referred to as the cup, this metaphor. But you know what? That term you can trace through the Old Testament repeatedly, and then Jesus picks it up. I'm going to read a few passages to give a taste for it. Not all of them. They come again in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then Jesus starts using the same term when He comes here and talks about what He's doing to suffer. But we're going to read two passages from Psalms and then some where Jesus Himself refers to this in the Gospel. So here we go. Starting with Psalm 11, 5 and 6. The Lord tests the righteous, but His soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let Him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. And then, quite a ways to Psalm 75, verse 8. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and He pours from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. When we get to the Gospels and Jesus starts talking about this cup, here's a passage that I have up for you where He does. I'll read a couple others also. Mark 14, starting in verse 33. And He took with Him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And He said to them, My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, He fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. And He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what You will. Again in Luke 22:41. And He withdrew from them but a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours. So after that, soon after, when the mob comes, He's arrested. Peter, His follower, gets excited, pulls out a sword, tries to defend Jesus in some way, chops off a servant's ear. Jesus heals him. But listen to this passage where again, Jesus refers to the cup. Simon Peter having a sword, John 18:10. Simon Peter having a sword drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was not. Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? The cup. Well, let me give some context to this theme. You have been sinned against. I've been sinned against. Varying degrees. Some of you may have been robbed. Most of you have been insulted at some point, especially if you ever had siblings. Some of you have experienced abuse, whether emotional, physical, and some have even experienced the awful pain of betrayal. All of us have been sinned against, and all of us have sinned against others. Well, Jesus can relate to that first category, but not the second one. Jesus has been sinned against, too. And every way that you have, also has he. Now, of course, this began soon after he created the world along with his Father. Throughout human history, the triune creator has been mistreated by his creature. But this took on a new dimension when he entered into his creation as he created one himself. Christ becoming a human being and living among us. Then his mistreatment became more direct and visible to us. So when he was born, a jealous king attempted to kill him soon after that. But that was just the beginning of lifelong pattern. John writes, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. Jesus was sinned against in all sorts of ways throughout his earthly life. You know, actually, in our time and culture today, one of the greatest objections to belief in God is the idea that if God is really all-powerful and all-loving, how could there be so much evil and suffering in this world? And there are good answers to that, but what that whole line of thinking overlooks is the fact that the God the Bible reveals is one who himself has suffered and been mistreated more than any human being. Now that doesn't answer the whole why question, but it helps give some proper context. That the God who created himself suffered and been mistreated more than any other human being in this world. So he knows the pain personally. But even so, the difference with God's suffering is that he didn't have to if he didn't want to. Now, wait a minute. Wow. God wanted to suffer? Well, no. He did not want to suffer for his own sake. But he did want something so badly that would come through suffering that he was willing to suffer and be mistreated. Horrifically so. By those he had made. Why did God choose? Throughout Jesus' life on earth, Jesus suffered the greatest sin against himself. The Gospels chronicle Jesus' experience of systemic mistreatment throughout his ministry. But then in the end, everything escalated. Betrayal, rejection, torture, blasphemy, hatred. He experienced emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. He was hung naked in public. Slander, false accusations, murder. Jesus suffered the worst treatment, the greatest offense. He really was the greatest victim of evil and injustice. But, do you know what is astonishing? None of that refers directly to the suffering that Jesus prayed to avoid. What's unique about the cross of Jesus is that the sin he suffered by wicked men against himself was not the limit of his suffering. The sin against him is not the cup that Jesus prayed about. That's not the suffering that weighed most heavily on his soul. No, Jesus referred to the cup. And by voluntarily submitting to the Father's will, he drank that cup. And what that means is that he didn't only suffer ultimate sin, ultimate injustice against himself. He also faced full retribution. The cup. From the Old Testament into the New, this recurring theme refers to God's appropriate and just punishment against evil and sin. It's fitting wrath and judgment against evil and sin. The cup symbolizes throughout Scripture God's fitting judgment against wrongdoers. What is the just punishment for injustice? What's the correct retribution for evil? Well, actually, the Bible teaches that in eternity, there will be varying degrees of punishment for every evil. So Jesus said, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than for you, city, that he was giving more knowledge to, more opportunity to. But God knows all factors. There are going to be varying degrees of liability according to God's perfect wisdom and knowledge and partiality. God's just. He knows the exact proper punishment for every evil, because he knows all the factors. A thief who steals bread to quell his burning hunger is not on the same level as a child molester. God alone is wise enough to fairly judge the rich and the poor, the powerful and the weak, the moralist and the immoral, the aggressive and the passive sinner. But this one thing is certain. On the cross, Jesus suffered more than anyone else ever will in the judgment of eternity. So each individual will be judged with the precise justice that God knows is appropriate for their idolatry and wrongdoing. But Jesus suffered a punishment great enough to satisfy the justice for all wrongdoing. Each individual is going to be judged according to their own life, their own sin. But Jesus drank the whole cup of God's judgment against every kind of sin. He received the total outpouring of God's holy wrath and judgment, making a payment great enough to cover all sin. That's the cup. What did that mean? Well, the physical pain was excruciating beyond our imagination. But the cup that Jesus drank far surpassed the physical pain. I think the essence is expressed where Jesus prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? Disconnection from God. The Father through whom Jesus had endured all kinds of evil against himself throughout his life. Broken fellowship. Separation from his love. And that was the love that fueled his life. Spiritual death. We read that darkness came over the land. There was an earthquake during Jesus' suffering on the cross. But Jesus experienced a worse darkness and a shaking in his soul, which was the blackness of removal from God's presence. That was the cup that he drank. Jesus bore the unbridled wrath of God against the outrage of all sin. In Psalm 90, Moses wrote, who understands the power of your anger according to the fear that is due you? And the only answer is that Jesus does. So remember this startling fact. Jesus chose this. He said, not my will, but yours be done. The self-sacrifice of God is one of the shocking distinctions between the God we read about in this Bible versus any other conception of a God or any other religion. The self-sacrifice of the Creator himself. Jesus said, "Should I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Why did you drink it? The answer is so that we can trade the cup. He drank our cup so that we could drink his. I wrote a poem about this exchange several years ago, and I've shared it with you before. It's been several years, and it so directly relates to this theme that I'm going to share it again. It's an allegory about this trade of him taking our cup so that we could have his. Here it is. He came upon the storm-scarred girl, wrapped up in rags, too sad and still, callous to the storm around, sick, she stayed upon the ground. Did not even seem to care to catch the sympathetic stare. "What ails you, dear? Why sitting here? Come shelter from this nearby sea, for I would happy see you be." "I'm sorry, sir, your quest is vain, for I have nothing left but shame, sorrow, sickness and regret, a few tears left, an endless death. No path to joy is left for me. I've given up that hopeless plea. Walked the road I thought went there, but failed and spent. Now I'm stuck here. The web you're in is strong and deep, but sin and shame cannot me keep from asking you to walk again. Join me in my journey home, to come and run with you once more. For all you've lost, I would restore." I think I'm past that, sir, you see. My heart is maimed. I'm drowned in pain. Words cannot heal my guilty stain. I chose the path where I now lie. I journeyed here, and I will die. I can't suppose the curse will fly that I invited. Why do you try? The young man's face then seems to cloud. A pain he could not speak aloud crossed over his brow and into his eyes. What would not deter him from his prize? The cost will be high, but I will pay. The groans to end, your pain to stay. I will walk the only way that leads your heart to endless day. I will walk the blackest mile, for so I prize your loving smile. I will swallow up the curse by letting it drown me. I will take on all you have to give you all that's mine. The girl's heart found no power to decline. The stranger's strong, sweet offer then. "Come, run with me," the young man said, "for I would have you back again." She gave him all she had long known. He took it on himself to own her sickness, sorrow, death, and curse, to gain something he wanted worse than all it cost to win, to see her laugh and smile again, because she now had him. Cup that only Jesus is entitled to. A cup of overflowing favor from God. A cup of spectacular delight in the triune beauty of God. A cup of grace and peace, and love and life, well-being and satisfaction. He drank our cup so that we could drink his. The cup our Savior bought for us. The cup of salvation. The cup of salvation. Now in this life, we have reminders of the old cup. The present world is under the curse because of God's appropriate judgment on sin since the fall. And when the sting of sin touches our lives in all the ways that it does, we're reminded of the weight of judgment. And the brokenness of the fall is going through us again and again in the its present world. Sin and its consequences will continue to intrude on our lives. But here is the thing. Once you are connected to Jesus by faith, even every taste of the old cup comes through a filter. Because Jesus drank that cup of unbridled judgment, even our ongoing tastes of the pain brought by sin go through a filter. They come through the filter of God's redeemer. So in other words, every negative experience of a Christian's life is co-opted by the cup of salvation. In other words, Jesus drank the cup that separated him from God. And so that now, every experience of your life serves to draw you closer to God. He drank our cup so that we can drink his. Nothing can get to you without passing through the filter of his redemption. In other words, all our bad things now work for our ultimate good. There is not one drip left of that old cup for us. The cup of condemnation. That cup is fully drained for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because of the cup that he drained, even every suffering in this present world filters through God's redeeming love to serve us. It's all part of God's unyielding pursuit of your greatest well-being, your eternal well-being. And that's all because Jesus drank the cup in our place. In John 6, Jesus is talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. He's saying the person who does that has eternal life. He says, the one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. What does that mean? Well, it's what we've been doing this morning. It's looking and meditating, pondering, and receiving, understanding what he did for us in our place. And when we understand what Jesus has done for us, we live in close union with him. The climax is definitely in eternity. But drinking his cup of life begins as we believe in him now. And that's our job. As he drank that cup for us, our job is to believe in him now. To look back, to stand back, to stare, and believe. Jesus drank the cup that we deserve, not him. But he chose it willingly so that he could share his cup with you. Worship. Lord, such love. So amazing. So divine. Demands of life, of love, our all. We praise you for the trade that you made. We exchange these things for us. That you knew no sin. And were our sin in your body on the tree. So we denied the sin of your righteousness that we could be brought home. We worship you, Jesus, for drinking the cup we deserve, so that we can have the cup of salvation.